Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast, your source for policy rants and raves from Tech Freedom, your Washington, D.C. advocate for the freedom to tinker and innovate. I'm Evan Schwartzschrauber, your host. On today's show, broadband privacy. The FCC is set to issue new regulations on how internet access providers collect data on their customers. Joining me to discuss this is a man who doesn't keep anything private, Tech Freedom President Baron Soka. Baron, thank you for joining us.
As if you had a choice.
Well, Baron, welcome back to the show after an entire week of you not being on the show. And I think we had record ratings in your absence. What do you have to say about that?
No doubt. But you know what? Sometimes people need to eat their broccoli, and I'm here to give them lots of good legal detail that will bore them to tears, but be very helpful for understanding the big fights in telecom and privacy.
So it's fair to say you are the broccoli of podcasts?
Yes.
Well, that's a great tagline for the show. Listeners, I hope you enjoy that. So, Baron, it's not like broadband was invented yesterday. I mean, why is the FCC issuing regulations on broadband now?
Yeah, so the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has regulated broadband privacy, as well as all other forms of online privacy, for 15-plus years. So the issue now has arisen only because the FCC, in its rush to comply with the president's demand for a stronger form of net neutrality after the 2014 midterm elections, the FTC lost jurisdiction here over broadband providers. As Commissioner Josh Wright, a friend of ours, former Tech Freedom adjunct fellow, put it at the time as an FTC commissioner, he said that the FCC had, quote, stolen the FTC's jurisdictional lunch money. And that was pretty apt. And the issue legally is very simple. The Federal Trade Commission has authority over every company in America, essentially, except for common carriers. And so the instant that the Federal Communications Commission said that broadband was a common carrier service, the FTC lost authority. And so now the FCC is saying it needs to invent an entirely new regime for regulating broadband privacy, because the FTC is no longer the cop on the beat.
So you had an agency that for 20 or so years really was an expert agency in regulating privacy. And now, just because of the FCC's net neutrality regulations, their authority has been stripped away. And the FCC now has to do something, right? Because currently, I guess, is it fair to say that we're kind of in a regulatory no man's land right now? Because yes, the net neutrality order is in effect and the FTC lost jurisdiction, but because the FCC hasn't voted on new rules, what is governing broadband privacy now as we await this new ruling?
Well, yes and no. It's true that the FCC has to do something over broadband privacy, unless, of course, it loses in court and the FTC regains its authority. There would indeed be a regulatory vacuum, but the FCC today says that it needs to issue rules when, in fact, it's already said, and we've seen it, in fact, do this, that it can take direct enforcement actions based directly on statutory provisions of Title II. It can work case by case. It just settled a complaint last week against Verizon based on one of those provisions. So technically speaking, the agency doesn't need to issue a rulemaking. It can enforce provisions of the statute. It's probably better for it to issue a rulemaking. And so I'm not against there being a rulemaking if we're going to go down this road. If the court, the D.C. Circuit, doesn't say that broadband reclassification was illegal, I would support the FCC doing something. But I do think it was a mistake to rush into this when the D.C. Circuit decision is just around the corner. It could come down literally any day, and that could totally change the way that this rulemaking works. The FCC could lose Title II authority over all broadband, or, as I think is very likely, at least over mobile broadband.
So the FCC easily could have just waited for this court decision to come down, because its entire net neutrality order is on the rocks. But apparently, I guess this is a form of confidence from the agency that they think they're going to win and they're just going to go ahead and make rules.
Well, if there's one thing that this agency does not lack for, it is arrogance.
Is arrogance just another word for confidence when we're talking about the FCC?
Well, I would say that arrogance is confidence unsupported by any real claim to expertise, grasp of the facts, or competency.
So if the FTC has been regulating broadband up until now, and there hasn't really seemed to be some huge issue with that, the motivation for the FCC's regulation was not really broadband privacy, it was net neutrality and a lack of competition and, you know, Netflix getting slowed down by Comcast. Like, that's what the whole debate was about. But this privacy thing is one of those unintended outcomes of Title II that we talk about, regulations that don't have anything to do with net neutrality, but because the FCC took such a heavy-handed approach, now it has to do these things.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, we saw in the net neutrality case, that concept was very amorphous and it grew so that not only did the FCC invoke Title II, but it invoked the most radical form of Title II. It's worth emphasizing here that if the FCC had used the version of Title II that the chairman was apparently planning to use before the president's big speech, the version of Title II that was at issue back in the Brand X case in 2005 that you'll hear so much about from defenders of the FCC, that would not have affected privacy. And the reason is that that version of Title II would have been essentially to say that the only common carrier service was the sender-side transmission, that is the way that broadband providers dealt with edge providers, not the retail service. It was only because the FCC went in for the entire enchilada and said that the whole thing is a Title II service that the Federal Trade Commission lost in jurisdiction. And that happened, it seems, didn't happen directly after the president's speech. It happened only really in January, really at the last minute last year before the agency issued its final rule, when Google went in and pointed out that the way the FCC was proposing to go about just reclassifying sender-side transmission would have created some problems for potentially requiring broadband companies to be paid by edge companies, which would be the very opposite of net neutrality. Anyway, it's just to illustrate that this is a very complicated set of issues, and that the fact that it is so complicated and yet so heated has meant that the FCC has again and again expanded what it's doing, not only expanding the version of Title II it was going to apply, but suddenly net neutrality ends up meaning regulating interconnection and privacy and lots of other things. And here too, I suspect that the same thing will happen. So this privacy inquiry started because the FCC said, well, we got to do something because the FTC no longer has authority. But now you're increasingly seeing a lot of the privacy fanatics try to change the subject and say, well, it doesn't really matter anyway because we don't like the FTC. It's not a good regulator. We want the FCC to regulate because they can do other things. They can issue penalties for first-time violations.
Right. So they clearly had the option of not going down this route. And while many defenders of the FCC will say, well, yes, privacy doesn't have anything to do with net neutrality, but the agency has no choice, according to what you just said, they did have a choice. They could have done a lighter version of Title II that did not strip away the FTC's jurisdiction and allowed that agency to continue doing what it's been doing. But there's also another option here that the FCC didn't take, and that would be to just adopt basically identical regulations to whatever the FTC had. So if the FCC is acting like, oh, we stumbled into this jurisdictional squabble kind of unintentionally and now we have to deal with it, they could have just said, you guys have been doing a good job of regulating privacy for a couple decades. We'll just adopt your standards. But that's not really what happened, Baron. So tell us what happened on Thursday when the FCC put out a fact sheet that kind of gives an idea of what its regulations are going to look like.
Right. So let's be careful when we use the word regulation, because that has a very specific meaning and that tends to confuse people. So what the FCC is at least in part planning to do is to issue regulations that look like normal regulations, and those would be things like you can't do X, Y, or Z, or if you do that, you have to get opt-in consent, right? Those are what we usually think of as regulations. That's the kind of thing that many of the FTC's critics have for many years cited and said the FTC should have done.
Basically, every time someone collects information on a consumer, that they have to be giving consent so that the company is, I guess, in good faith with the regulator.
Yeah. In other words, they want a notice and choice regime that is required by regulation that assumes that it's mother may I. If you go to Europe, for example, and you use the internet, you will constantly be bombarded. Every site you go to, you have to click that you accept the terms and conditions, that there are cookies on the site and so on. Right. That is the product of an opt-in regulatory regime. And that is in part what the FCC is proposing to do here. But the point that I wanted to make is that there are two differences here. The first is the FCC is going to be requiring more opt-in than the FTC has in the past. But the second is it done by regulation, by rule, or by standard? And essentially, when you talked about the FTC's approach, the FTC has, quote, regulated privacy almost entirely through standards. They have a standard for unfairness. When is a practice, does it cause injury to consumers that's not outweighed by countervailing benefit that consumers can't avoid? And they have a standard for deception. Is there a statement that was misleading, that was material to consumers? And in either case, they have broad authority to and flexible authority to regulate practices without issuing specific regulations, right? That's a dynamic way of regulating. It has its certain problems because the FTC doesn't really, frankly, pay much attention to those standards. But in principle, they're exactly the right standards. And to answer your question, what we would like to see the FCC do here, if it's going to regulate at all, would be to largely operate as the FTC should operate and as it would operate if it actually paid attention to its own standards. Instead, the FCC is likely to pick the worst aspects of how the FTC operates. It'll probably do something like that case-by-case standard approach that'll probably resemble the general conduct standard in the Open Internet Order, which is a very open-ended standard that the agency says, oh, look, we're going to look carefully at benefits and trade-offs, don't worry. But really, what it really means is they're just going to have unchecked discretion. So in other words, the FCC is going to marry that discretionary standard, which is going to be even more open-ended than the way that the FTC works in practice. They're going to marry that with a few specific regulations about opt-in and certain other requirements. So from my perspective, it's the worst of both worlds, and it's a missed opportunity to steer a better course that's grounded in carefully weighing the trade-offs involved in new technologies.
It's important to note that it's not always better to have more checks on your internet behavior and more roadblocks to make sure you're okay with what's going on. There are consumer benefits to a seamless web experience. And as you mentioned, a casual American tourist who goes to Europe might be surprised at how different their internet experience is on their hotel Wi-Fi in, you know, in Paris than just at home. I mean, you go to websites that you frequent all the time, you trust them, you've already developed a relationship with them, and you're being asked constantly, here's the cookies policy, here's the privacy policy. And yeah, in theory, it's great because you're protecting consumers, but is that actually creating a benefit that outweighs the benefit of a seamless experience? You look at things like Amazon one-click purchasing. Yes, there's the danger that someone accidentally clicks, you know, the button and buys something they didn't mean to, or a child gets a hold of it. But does that outweigh the benefit of just being able to buy something quickly? Clearly, Amazon created that feature for a reason because they think their customers like that. So the problem with regulators not weighing these costs and benefits is they always err on the side of more regulation because more regulation protects consumers when they're not thinking necessarily about, is this practice good for consumers? Do they like it?
Yeah, we're picking that as an example just because it's a really salient one that users can actually directly understand.
Right.
And it's not by any means far-fetched because, for example, the FTC in its own somewhat wacky case-by-case process has gotten involved in design decisions like on the Apple Store, how long should the window remain open where you stay signed in after you sign in once? And it turns out sometimes kids logged in and made unauthorized purchases. Now, I don't have a problem with the FTC in principle regulating that, but if they're going to do it, they have to weigh the trade-offs. You know, there's a benefit for requiring greater notice and changing the way that works so that fewer unauthorized purchases get made, but it's a pain for a lot of other users, right? That's a very obvious trade-off. The other trade-offs here are not so obvious. They're not in the immediate user experience, but they could be quite real nonetheless.
And what we're talking about specifically is the trade-offs of requiring broadband customers to opt in to data collection that can then be used by their broadband provider for marketing and other things.
Right. And that, in many ways, of course, sounds good to most people, but what it in practice could mean is less competition in the advertising space. There are companies that are out there that are very well entrenched in the online advertising ecosystem, like Google and Facebook. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't want the government to try to unseat them. I would be the first to defend them against claims of monopolization. But we can't turn around and then say that these other players in the marketplace that could potentially compete with them shouldn't be allowed to do so because of opt-in rules, right? So in other words, you have to be careful here, because when you press down on one side of the market, you can distort it in another area.
Yeah, you're hitting on one of the biggest critiques of the FCC's proposed regulations, was that it creates inconsistent regulations between broadband infrastructure companies like Verizon, AT&T, and companies like Google and Facebook. And I think even some privacy advocates might ask, advocates of more regulation might say, why should they be inconsistent? Why should this set of companies have stricter rules on how they use data than another set? And you bring up the competition point. Verizon recently bought AOL. They're looking to get into the advertising game. You could argue that it would be good for consumers if Google and Facebook and other entrenched advertising companies would have to compete with new models from companies like Verizon and AT&T and Comcast. Wouldn't that be better for consumers?
Yeah.
But if they have inconsistent rules, that competition might not flourish.
And indeed, we often say that the best way to fight fire is with fire. In other words, we are not faint-hearted about competition. There are a lot of people in this space who talk a big game about competition, but they don't really want it, because they're not really willing to allow other big players to cross imaginary lines. You know, for a Verizon to buy an AOL and to try to innovate in the online advertising display space, I think is a great thing.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes. And that would be something that, under the FTC's more flexible approach, I think would be allowed, and that the government would still be there to jump in and protect consumers from real harms. But this approach would seem to cut that off. And I want to be clear here. Some people who are making this argument are trying to say, well, therefore we should regulate up and everybody should be subject to the same heavy-handed rules.
Right. That would be some privacy advocates might say everyone should be regulated more. And when we make the regulations consistent, let's make them consistently stronger.
Yeah. And indeed, it's not an imaginary argument here, because we've been talking about Title II as a basis for this. And Title II, of course, today only applies to broadband providers. We've argued in our brief before the court and in other filings that the FCC could very well extend that to other companies in the future.
Yeah.
But it's just worth noting that the FCC's proposed rules and the FCC's past statements about privacy indicate quite clearly that they are looking not only to Title II as a basis for regulating here, but also Section 706. And in other words, that they could use that, to regulate not just broadband providers, but any form of communication. So indeed, the FCC could come up with rules that not just fill a gap over broadband privacy, which the FCC again created by invoking Title II, but that cover Google and Twitter and Facebook and everybody else. And this is why the political point I made earlier about how this has been expanded from let's just fill a regulatory gap concept to instead the FCC is a better regulator than the FTC concept. If that idea takes hold politically, you could very well see the FCC come out here with regulations, whether they win or lose on Title II, that cover everybody in the online ecosystem, including edge companies.
Yeah, just to define our technical jargon, Title II, just to remind listeners, that is the reclassification of broadband as a common carrier, which is what led to the FTC losing its privacy jurisdiction and giving it over to the FCC. Section 706 is a directive from the 1996 Telecom Act to the FCC to promote broadband deployment, which a lot of Republicans might say is a directive to deregulate, to make broadband deployment easier.
And indeed, Democrats.
Yeah,
I mean,
Democrats.
People who were around at the time understood that 706 was a command of the authority to the FCC to say, hey, we gave you a lot of authority elsewhere, use it for this purpose. Whereas in 2010, in its desperation to be able to regulate net neutrality, the FCC said, oh, well, 706 is a grant of authority to regulate any form of communications in any way we want that's not specifically illegal or prohibited by some other provision of the act, as long as we assert that it promotes broadband deployment. And they've used that for net neutrality, but they've also cited it in support of regulating privacy. And also here we should just emphasize, we're also talking about data security. And to me, this is really the beginning of the slippery slope. If people out in Silicon Valley are not paying attention to this, they should be, because 706, if it stands in court, allows the FCC to regulate them too. And data is the lifeblood of every business in the tech sector.
But to just to play devil's advocate, probably the strongest argument that broadband providers should be subject to a different form of privacy regulation than companies like Google and Facebook is really the difference between the companies. So let's talk about broadband providers. You could argue that they are subject to less competition than social media companies and email providers. Well, you have a lot of options for who you use email with. You maybe have, if you're lucky, 2 to 4 options for broadband. And also, broadband companies have information on customers like billing addresses and credit cards and things like that, which might be different than your email provider. So, Baron, do you think there's something to that argument that because of less competition in the broadband marketplace and all this sensitive information they have on customers, that maybe there should be different regulations and what the FCC is doing is not so misguided?
Well, I think the best argument would be if it were true that broadband providers were in a uniquely in a unique place, they were uniquely positioned to collect personal data about what you were doing online, right? That certainly, to the extent that were true, you could imagine having special rules for that and an opt-in requirement. But as Peter Swire, certainly no friend of cable, law professor who's written in this area for many years, as he's pointed out, increasingly, what we do online is encrypted. And so broadband providers can't read our traffic anyway. So to the extent that's true, they're not in a unique position. So there are lots of pushbacks here, and these are all fair questions. The FCC really should be studying these questions and proposing or gathering information about that kind of nuance before it proposes rules. But what we've seen here is the FCC again and again has this habit of saying, oh, just don't worry, we're just collecting more information, we got to figure out how the marketplace works, and that's why we're proposing rules. And they keep forgetting that they have this other vehicle, the notice of inquiry, to collect information to ask about, well, okay, are you right? How different is broadband from other players in the marketplace? And the difference is, when you do a notice of proposed rulemaking instead of a notice of inquiry, you're putting a loaded gun to the head of the regulated parties, because the next step is regulation. So you can say you're gathering information, but really you have a preconceived outcome, and whatever you're doing is frankly just window dressing to justify that. It's quite clear that Tom Wheeler knows where he's going to go here.
Yeah, there's a clear difference between just gathering information and saying, give us information or else. And that's really what a rulemaking is. You know, give us some information to convince us to do otherwise. But yes, you do have the gun to your head. So it's not really just some benign, you know, information gathering situation.
Yeah, and the point is that they already know what they're going to do. And it's not like they're in the habit of issuing one notice of proposed rulemaking, getting input, and then saying, oh, well, we've revised our proposal, so here's the revised proposal, and now give us feedback on that.
Yeah. So just before we wrap up, the FCC's fact sheet came out on Thursday that it's not actual regulations, kind of an outline of regulations.
He's circulated those to his fellow commissioners. They're going to be voting on those at the FCC's open meeting on the last Thursday of the month.
Okay, so last Thursday in March, listeners will be seeing the commissioners vote on the proposal, and then it'll probably be another time when we actually get to see the proposal.
Yeah, it might go out that day. It might take a little while. Then there'll be a comment window, so it'll take probably another, let's say, usually 2 to 3 months for the whole thing to be wrapped up. And as I emphasize, the DC Circuit is going to rule on the whole Title II question. So this whole process could get blown up. And we could be in a situation where, just as President Obama did, the FCC could be really having to change its proposal significantly. And they might once again refuse to issue a revised notice of proposed rulemaking, which would then undermine the legality of their whole effort. And again, there's no rush here. It's hard to see why they're insisting on getting this out so quickly.
Yeah, if the net neutrality regulations go down in court, this entire podcast could have been for naught, if it isn't already. But that's
It's not the net neutrality regulations. It's the underlying Title II
issue. Right. I just say that to, you know, bring everything together.
But they are distinct issues.
Yeah. Well, that's it for today's show. My guest has been Baron Soka, who is on the show for the first time in a week. Thank you for joining us, Baron.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to serve you up so much broccoli today.
Follow us on Twitter at TechFreedom or on Facebook.com/TechFreedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It will help others find the show. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.